Hey, I tell you folks, recently in CORE, for those who are part of CORE, you'll know that kind of directly and indirectly, the subject of worship has been spoken about for some time now. And that is a very wide theme. John has been speaking about it when he's reminded us of the vision. One of the four pillars of the vision here in CORE is that worship will be the sign. And he has spoken about that, that we'll be a worship community and we'll be a transformed community. And he's spoken about worship. We've also been speaking a lot about John 4, where the woman at the well came to Jesus and she was committing adultery, and Jesus spoke to her about living water, but also spoke to her about in the future time the new worshippers would be those who worship in spirit and in truth. And there's been all other hints and suggestions about worship, people sharing from the front, and I think that we have a very strange definition of worship. So I'd like us as this group tonight to look at what worship really means, because it's a much wider context than just this church. The whole earth is involved in worship. And I've been really thinking about this for a long time now. I don't know what you, when I say worship to you, what do you think of? Invariably you think of Paul and Elizabeth up there doing wonderful work on the baron and guitar, don't you? Because our kind of definition of worship has been reduced to singing, but it's so much more than that. And because of this kind of issue, if you like, I've been reading and studying about it and listening to guys called Mark Driscoll from Seattle in Washington. I've been reading books like this, and I always think it's good to recommend books. A guy called Dave Linus, you might know him, recommended this to me and a few others, Exploring the Worship Spectrum. It's a whole sort of collection of essays. And I've just been reading these things because I reckon if we're really honest, our definition of worship is so restricted, but actually it's the most important thing in our lives. It shapes us, it molds us, it defines us, it leads us into the places that we'll go. And the title of my talk tonight is We Are What We Worship, because what we worship does shape us. And I think I just wanted to speak very quickly about this, because as I said, the question is much wider. The whole earth is worshipping something, isn't it? We believe in worshipping the living God. We come in here to worship him as we listen to his word, as we sing. But actually outside there, we're all worshipping something. But what exactly does worship mean? What does it mean for us? And what does it mean for the guys outside the church? For those theologians amongst you, I don't know if you've ever read this in the Bible, but in Genesis, up to Genesis 1 or 2, everything that Adam and Eve speak, Gordon MacDonald talks about this, is singing. Adam, and the first time Adam speaks is when he sees his wife naked and he starts singing. That's totally normal, right? But he actually sings. The Hebrew is singing and worshipping until the fall. And as soon as the fall happens, humans start speaking. So if you like, from that point of fallenness, everything begins to be retracted and broken and falling and moving from just a beautiful sense of worshipping God in our lives. We see Adam and Eve walking in the garden, talking with them, to this idea of just brokenness and fallenness. But you see, we all have within us this desire to worship. Would you agree with me if I said human beings, by very definition, are passionate, earthy beings that have desires for things? Would you agree with me? We're not like boring, sort of inanimate objects that don't worship anything. We have this passion within us. We have this desire within us to worship something, to draw close to something. And that goes back to Genesis. That was because we were made with this indwelling, as it says, to worship the living God. But because of the fallenness, we worship other things. And where do we see that in today's culture? And just let me give a little caveat on this. I often hear Christian preachers go on about culture and giving out and, you know, the world's doing this, the church is doing this. I'm not saying that. Rather, I'm saying when we observe the world around us, we see other things being worshipped, don't we? I just put a list down, myself and my wife Dillis did, because we probably worship some of these things ourselves. TV, shopping, drink, sex, money, power. We see terms like, oh, that guy is a sun worshipper. We see other terms like there's fashion shows in Paris that are now being called worship events, where actually the models who are walking down the catwalks are essentially being worshipped. So we have all these things that are being worshipped outside the church and in the church, I think, if we're honest, because of this proclivity or inclination to want to worship something. And all of us here tonight, we live in culture, and we can be tainted by those things. We can be slightly shifted away from what we're meant to do. So we are what we worship. Maybe you don't agree with me. Just put that slide up, Marcelo, if you can. You are what you eat. Have you heard that saying, yeah? Who's seen the film? Is it a film or a series of the guy who lived on McDonald's for how long was it? 28 days or something, and he ate McDonald's for 28 days. I love McDonald's, but I don't think I could do 28 days. My son Ethan, he could do 28 days. But the amazing thing was that this guy, if you've seen the video, in the end, he essentially equated the idea of the American culture worshipping food. And the more he ate of McDonald's, his skin got worse, his everything about his medication, if you like, got worse. His very makeup began to fall apart. Because what we worship, we do become that thing which we worship. And we are called to worship Jesus. So there's a very funny thing of a guy who's worshipping what he eats. But if you think about people around you worshipping other things apart from food, I've got friends, right, who are so obsessed by golf that, I don't know if you've heard this term, but their wives are called golf widows. Have you heard that term? Because they literally, every spare moment they get, they play golf. Again, I'll come to this in a few moments. It's not in itself a bad thing, but when we worship that thing, we become it. We become so obsessed by it. Rory, a friend of mine, he works in a very big business in the city, and he said to me recently, he says, Rob, I just realized I worship my job. And I says, what do you mean, mate? And he says, I'm there till 12 o'clock at night, most nights. And I said, why is that? And he says, well, I'm driven by this desire to want to get up the ladder. I'm driven by this desire to make more money, and I don't know how to get out of it. Hopefully he's doing the life course. But it was really interesting when he said to me, like, I feel like I'm worshiping my job, and I don't want to do that. So therefore, we see that out in the world, we do see people worship. There are just a few examples of this funny one, but I've also given the golf, and I've also given the example of our jobs. But it's very interesting then when you see the definition of worship in the dictionary. The definition of worship in the Oxford English Dictionary is the offering of devotion and praise and adoration to that which is deemed worthy of such offering. And they put in brackets, usually a god. But if we want to see the real definition of worship, now open your Bibles and look at Romans 11, 36 to 12, 1. So what we're looking at a biblical definition of what worship is, because it's the center of our lives, and we need to be informed by this so we can break this spectrum of just singing. We need to live as Adam and Eve lived in worship. Would someone be again so bold as to read out, probably someone from CORE, be easier, I don't know, Paul or Q, whatever, if someone else. I want to read out Romans 11, 36 to 12, 1, and if you can shout it out a bit, that would be great. Any volunteers? Q, yeah, thank you.
For him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Therefore I urge you, brothers, who view God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship.
Okay, guys, we see these passages in the Bible and we run over them, but actually within this, I would say to us tonight, this is the definition of worship. You're looking at it, you're going, how is this the definition of worship? Well, Paul essentially finishes up saying this is what worship means. But if you look at this passage, as I've looked at this, there's three main components, okay? Worship is made up of glorifying something, dedicating ourselves to that which we glorify, and then sacrificing time, energy, and something in order to dedicate ourselves to that which we glorify. And Paul is saying this is how worship is made up, and it's meant to be for God. But actually, it happens to the reverse of that outside the world, because we glorify other things, we dedicate ourselves to those things which we glorify, and then we sacrifice so much in our lives for those things which we glorify, or we worship. So if you want to know what you glorify, here's some questions I would encourage you to ask yourself in honesty. Ask me, ask myself these questions. What motivates you? What's your deepest desire? What gets you out of bed in the morning? What is the most weighty, significant, purposeful person or thing in your life? Is it TV? Is it email? Is it job? Is it money? Is it power? Is it sex? Is it getting on the corporate ladder? Is it even being liked? What's the first thing you think about when you get up? Now, recently, my son's been sick with all sorts of things, and he's been vomiting most nights, so I have been waking up with the thought, I wonder, has he vomited again? But I think we do awaken, if you like, every morning or during the week with this sense of worry or sense of pain, or something is driving us. And invariably, if you ask yourself these questions, that is what you are giving glory to at that present time in your life. I was talking to someone recently who's having issues with pornography, and they get up in the morning, right, and they want to go to the computer to excuse me, I have to use these words, to masturbate, because they've got that massive, you know, they want to just do this and give this glory. So then the second one is, Paul doesn't use the word dedication, but he uses the word offer your body. And the idea of offering your body is obviously you're dedicating yourself to something. So how do we dedicate ourselves to the things that we give glory to? Again, Paul is saying for us as Christians, and I'll come to that in a second, how we do that. But outside the world, we dedicate ourselves with t-shirts, with bumper stickers, with caps, with flags, Facebook blogs, and MySpace. Like, it's just unbelievable. We were just talking this morning in Ignition. Mark was telling us about his son who's joined Facebook. He's got 2,000 friends already, you know? And if you look at blogs are used for us to give our opinions, for us to advertise what we believe in. The MySpace pages, I don't actually have one, I am on Facebook, but we use all these things to dedicate ourselves to that which we glorify. And then lastly, sacrifice. Paul then talks again towards of that, the end of that passage there. We sacrifice then things for that which we dedicate ourselves to. So we sacrifice things like time, money, relationships in order to dedicate ourselves to that which we give glory to. Now, you may think I'm being totally harsh here, but I will give you a great example of another friend of mine who I love dearly, and he's a diehard Leeds fan, right? I like Leeds too, that's why we're friends. But he gets up in the morning, right? And he goes straight to the supporter website, and he spends an hour before work to find out, is there any news about Leeds? Now, this is Leeds Football Club, huh? They've been demoted so many times, they shouldn't be allowed to play football again. Then he spends a lot of time during the week buying merchandise. He spends up to half his salary buying tickets, buying flights to go and see them. And then he actually, if they lose, he sacrifices his dinner. He won't eat if they lose. Now, he will have about 20 or 30 pints, all right? But he sacrificed dinner. Now, that's a very extreme example. But to varying degrees, right, we all work in these three modes of giving glory to something, dedicating ourselves to that which we glorify, and then sacrificing something so that we can give glory to that thing. Now, Paul is saying that these three modes of worship that come together, this triune dance of worship, you're like, is meant to exist for God's glory. And Adam and Eve are existed for God's glory. And these three things were meant to be healthy outworkings of worship. We're meant to do these for God so that we understand what it means to worship God, and that we grow and we become like Him. And the things of dedication are good and sacrifice are good, and we grow and we excel in the gifts of the Spirit and we advance in God's kingdom. All these things are meant for the good. Now, you're going to ask the question, maybe some of you are saying, why, Rob? Why are these things, these three components, only better when we give glory to God and not to the things of the world? Turn to Romans 1. few pages back there. I'll be boldest to say, right, this is a real good Bible teaching tonight. I'll be boldest to say, okay, Romans 1:25. Does anyone want to actually read that out? Romans 1:25, right? Make sure I'm right here. Yeah, Romans 1:25, okay? Paul?
Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, gave them over to a depraved mind to do what all men have done.
So they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, okay? They worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator who is praised forever. Amen. Now, Rome, John's talking about it there a while ago. Rome is the equivalent of Dublin today, if you like. Obviously, there's no technology, no Facebook, MySpace, any of those sort of things. But that culture was very similar in that they were constantly trying to get up the corporate ladder, constantly trying to better themselves, constantly worshipping other things. But here is the issue. I would say, put my ordination on it, right? I would say one of the main issues in our society today is, right, we worship the created things above the Creator. Read it again. That's exactly what they did in Paul's time. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator. So essentially what's happening is that we are worshipping the things that God has created for our enjoyment, yes, but not for the actual very purpose of worship itself. Because what happens if we worship these things? Who here is from the Southern Hemisphere? Anyone here from Australia? Okay. I've never actually seen one work, right? But a boomerang, yeah? They do actually come back, don't they?
I think so.
Yeah, have you ever tried it?
It's not easy.
No, it's not easy. But I think that when we worship these created things above the Creator, right? This phrase has come to my mind. Happiness boomerangs into pain, right? So if you like, we take these things of the world to glorify them, to fill this hole within us that God has put there, and we throw them out, if you like, we follow them. And they get to a certain point that things are going really well, and then they come back and they slash us in the face invariably. So happiness boomerangs into pain if we worship the created things above the Creator himself. I'll give you a few examples. Before I was a Christian, I used to drink a lot. I'll be totally honest. I wouldn't say I was an alcoholic, but I did drink because I wanted to be part of the social network. I wanted to be confident. I wanted to have more friends. I was playing a lot of rugby, and everyone did those things. And I, if you like, worshipped that created thing in order to make myself feel better. I gave it glory. I dedicated myself by going out to pubs, by spending half my salary on it, totally crazy, by spending the whole day Sunday in bed with a hangover. Like, I was wasting my life away, and that's for me. But another example, I read recently, in where I'm living in Drimna, there's actually people now that are so in need for, if you like, making money and stealing things to make money, they're dropping their three-year-old kids. You know those bins for collecting clothes? You know the big yellow bins, and you put your clothes in them, and then they open them up and some charity organization takes them away. Have you seen them? They're for collecting clothes. There's people now going around dropping 2- and 3-year-old kids into those small little holes so they can push the bags up, steal the clothes and sell them. And that is a total addiction, if you like, to money, giving glory to sacrificing your children so that you can steal these things. Another example of a family in America, their child died of starvation because they were on the internet so much. Now that sounds totally crazy, but the child was like, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks old, and they didn't feed the thing because it turned out this guy was totally addicted to pornography, and the wife was so into MySpace and Facebook and all these things that they thought the other one was feeding the child, but he wasn't, and the child died of starvation because they were worshipping something that was so not right for them. Now again, these are extreme cases, and I know I'm just using them to make a point, but I think if we're all honest with ourselves, to sort of lesser degrees, we do worship other things, and we do sacrifice a lot of our lives for those things which are created above the Creator. And I'm not saying that these things are wrong. It's really important you go away from here knowing that. In 1 Corinthians 10:31, Paul says, "Wherever you eat or drink or whatever you do on this earth, do it for the glory of God." So just to kind of, because I know there's a bit of teaching in this, but just to recap, what we've looked at so far is that we're made to worship. We see that in Genesis. We're made to worship God. Things went really bad, and there was the fall, and we went from worshipping the Creator God to those things which are created. And we do that by glorifying something, dedicating various aspects of our lives to that which we glorify, and then we sacrifice certain parts of our life. And I know, looking around the room, we're all part of that. But Paul is reminding us these three things of glory, dedication, and sacrifice. If we can find these three things right in our lives and actually worship God, you can take that down, Marcelo. I think I got the point. I think then we find what true worship is about. So let me read this out to you. If we worship the created above the Creator, the result is ultimately the loss of joy. And this is the human condition. I.e., we have this hole within us, all mankind has this hole, personkind has this hole within us, to worship something and to be something, a part of something bigger. And we try to fill this with temporary stuff. And this is what it's like, because the human condition is essentially that. It's trying to fill that hole, it's trying to find the meaning of life. And we do that by worshipping other things. But to worship other things, it's like picking up this water, right? It's slow, you know, and you hold a little bit, but it's always leaking away, and you're like, oh no, crap, I gotta get more. I need more of that. I need more telly. I need more. I need more pornography. I need more money. I need more power. I need more. Oh no, that's not enough. I need more. And it's more and more and more. And that's what Jesus was saying at the woman at the well. Because she, if you look at that scripture, she said to Jesus, but you have nothing to draw with. He had no bucket. He was standing beside the well and he had no bucket. And she was there with her bucket and the metaphorical idea of drawing the water down, picking it up, drawing the water down, picking it up. She was getting the things of the earth to fill her void, fill her hole. And she was like, look, I can't get the water, Jesus. I can't get the water. Jesus didn't have a bucket. And he says to her, or she says to him, you don't have a bucket. He says, I don't need a bucket because I am the one that you need to worship. I am the one that sustains you. I am the one. And if you drink of me, you will never be thirsty again. And that is the definition of worship. And all of us are party to worshipping other things. But remember what Paul says, they're not bad in themselves. Rather, when we put them above the Creator, as Paul says in Romans 1, then we begin to lose our joy. So for worshipping God first means he fills this hole and he is the perfect fit and our joy is complete and not dependent on what we do. We will have pain, we will have struggles in this world, of course we will. We've just heard from Graham tonight, it's horrific. But if we can worship God, give him glory first, if we can dedicate ourselves to him, and then there is areas of sacrifice about, we have to, you know, set time aside for prayer, set time aside to come to church, set time aside to be part of a small group, we have to give of our tithes, we have to give of our time. So if we can find these three components, then we get what Jesus says is this peace. I just want to finish with this, and then we're just going to pray. And if we have any questions, I'll do my best to answer them, because it's such a small setting. But over the last 2 months, this is the practical application of what we see Paul talking about in Romans 12. Over the last 2 months, right, my kids have been so sick. My son, Ethan, it sounds really bad parenting, and it wasn't my fault, I promise. He fell out of bed, right, and he broke his collarbone, as he calls it, his collarbone, right? Broke his collarbone. Then 2 weeks later, he got a urinary tract infection, and he was in agony. Then then he got this viral disease in his mouth. He's only three, right? He got this viral disease in his mouth where his mouth was totally covered in blisters and he couldn't eat. Then he got, this is all one after the other, some of them overlapping. Then he got diarrhea. Then he got a sort of a flu type thing. Then he got a bug. Then he got a urinary tract infection again. Then he got a winter vomiting bug. And now he's just sick. This is a three-year-old, right? And I'm like, for crying out loud, God, you know, I can't, this is a three-year-old, I'm praying all the time, I'm fasting, and I just feel God say, worship me. And there, I'm like going and watching more television, I'm going and reading more, I'm going again, just filling up, trying to fill myself up with like this, trying to hold on to other things that will make me happy, and God just says, no, you gotta glorify me first, you gotta dedicate yourself to me, and you gotta make sacrifices in times of prayer, whatever. And that's why I opened with Psalm 145, because that psalm was written by David in a time of immense pressure and turmoil. And he finally got to the place where he said that, God, you are slow to anger and that you are rich in love. And I use that as an example to say that we, in hard times especially, we default back to this, you know, worshipping of those things that are created as opposed to the Creator. We all do it. And that's why we need to come to church and we need to be filled up. We need to pray for each other. We need to be encouraged. It's the ebb and flow of the walk of God, as Peter says. We get emptied, but we need to be filled up. We get emptied, but we need to be filled up. These things aren't wrong in themselves, but it's the constant need to be filled up, to be filled up, to be filled up, and to head out. So I think that's all really I want to say. There's a few more things I did want to say, but if anyone has any questions, I don't know if I'll be able to answer them, but I'll do my best. But just to summarise what we said is that a good definition of worship is that we give glory to things. We dedicate certain parts of our lives or certain aspects of our life to those things which we glorify, and then we sacrifice various things in order to glorify those things. And Paul is saying we should do that in order to worship God and to grow, but we have this human condition to default back to the other, and that's why we need to be filled up all the time. So that's essentially the talk. So I don't know if anyone has any questions. I know it's a little bit different, but we're finished a little bit early. If not, we should just pray. And maybe Paul, you could do that last song. So I don't know if anyone has any questions, or maybe you'd just like to pray now. I know that's very different to what we usually do, but when we're small groups, I think that's something that we can do. So I know it's always strange if we're in this group, we might have questions, but any questions? Does that kind of make sense? You kind of know where we're coming from, yeah? That's okay, I won't put you on the spot anymore. Let's stand and let's worship as we sing.